The reading form from the lectionary this morning again takes us to our New Testament passage found in the Gospel of Luke, which follows last week's reading, which had to do with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus tells the parable in response when asked by one who had authority, who was an expert in the law, and who comes to Jesus and who tries and who lives by the Torah, who probably teaches the law of Moses. And he asks Jesus how he can make how he can be sure that he will have eternal life. Jesus responds, "What does the law teach us? How do you understand it? How do you interpret it?" He responds, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind." In other words, with everything, with all that we are. And then he adds, to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus affirmed his answer and says, "Do this, and you will have eternal life." The expert, in wanting to justify himself, then asks, "Okay, so who's my neighbor?" And Jesus responds with the parable of the Good Samaritan, in which we are reminded to treat others, even those who are not in our religious circle or who do not share our same social or economic status, who are of a different race, culture, language, to treat others with compassion as we would want to be treated. Now, our passage this morning takes us to the home of a family of siblings who are close friends of Jesus. And they lived in the town of Bethany, a village not too far from Jerusalem. We read of what seems to happen in a lot of households as one sister has a complaint against the other. And it all stems from the visit of Jesus to their home. One of the sisters, Martha, seems upset as she is tired of doing the many chores as she prepares for his visit, so that when Jesus arrives, she is looking for Jesus, the teacher, to somehow agree with her and affirm her complaint, perhaps speak some words, some harsh words to her sister Mary to straighten her out, if you will. This reminded me of my own household as I was growing up. And again, as I shared, I grew up with four sisters. And I remember that when we had company that was coming, whether it was an aunt or an uncle or our grandparents, or a friend of the family, my mom wanted to make sure that everything looked spick and span, if you will. And so we all scrambled and cleaned up our rooms, we swept the floors, we made sure that the bathrooms were clean and presentable. In short, the house looked, my mom wanted the house to look decent. And we were able also asked to be on our best behavior and to welcome our guests. We were all busybodies in preparation for those who were coming out to visit, and almost every time one or more of us felt that we had done more than our fair share. That's always the case, right? And today in our own household, we have three grandchildren. Two of them live in Austin, one of them lives here in San Antonio, and so we see our little almost 4-year-old granddaughter who comes over to the house. And so our son will call. And when he calls, Beatrice and I, we drop everything that we're doing. And so we make sure that she has her little outfits in which she puts on and dresses up in, little princess kind of dresses. We make sure that she has all of her toys lined up in places where they should be and where she already is familiar with. She has a little doctor's kit. I think it's called Blippi. I think that's the name of it. And so it's a little kit And so she plays doctor with us. And so she'll have us come and sit on the sofa, and then she's taking our blood pressure and she's checking our heart. And she says, either you've got the cold or the flu or a fever. And then she always ends up giving us a shot. And she has a shelf in our hallway in which she has a multitude of stuffed toys, of stuffed animals, of some dolls, a little dollhouse. She's got an HEB cart. She's got the works. And so we take our time to prepare, and sometimes, again, it's usually myself that does less of the preparation than my wife does. And we always have a snack. I try to make sure that there's some grapes or watermelons or strawberry or melon. In short, things that she likes to enjoy and to eat. Well, Martha seems to be the one who wants to make sure that everything is in place and wants Jesus to feel very much at home, to feel comfortable, as all of us want when we have visitors. And so she engages in a number of different tasks in preparation for the visit. Mary, it seems, when Jesus arrived at their home, welcomes him, perhaps taking him to the room where they would visit and be able to converse. But she wants to listen to everything that Jesus was saying, to not miss a word, and more importantly, to be in the presence of the Lord. Martha, however, is wrapping up the last details and is perhaps frustrated and asks Jesus to tell Mary to help her out. It seems that daily we are faced with making choices. Some choices are relatively simple, like what I shared earlier, what we will wear. Will it be more dressy or more casual? Where we will go to eat after church, will it be Italian? Will it be Mexican? Will it be Chinese? And that list goes on. Such choices are a matter of preference with no cost to ourselves or to others. At other times, we are faced with making more difficult choices, which do come at a cost. Some choices might involve spending a significant amount of money or taking a stand on an issue, or it might affect a special relationship with someone we care for. I remember when I was serving in hospice as a chaplain that our team often would meet together and talk with families regarding their loved one's serious failing health and decline. Some who were on life support and the doctor's recommendation to remove the support as their loved one was no longer responding to treatments. Always difficult choices. Martha seems to be engaged in all these different household tasks and activities to welcome Jesus. After all, they are important and they need to be done. She is so worried and involved from the different tasks that she is distracted from being with Jesus, from being in the presence of the Lord, of the teacher, in her own home. And oftentimes, distractions do sidetrack us. They pull us away from what really matters, from what is important, so that we miss the blessings of God. Mary, on the other hand, recognizes what really mattered was the presence of Jesus in her home. She was sitting at Jesus' feet, learning from him, spending time in the presence of Jesus. It's as if she is able to find spiritual renewal, spending time with the Lord, perhaps thinking about her walk with God, maybe thinking about her life of prayer, perhaps reflecting on those things that truly matter in life. It's as if she's being renewed in her spirit. Jesus, instead of telling Mary to go and help her sister, tells Martha, "You are worried and distracted by many things, and there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Neither one was doing anything wrong, but with Martha's focus on doing so much, it led to her having a negative attitude, so that she is being distracted and starts being distracted. We might be called to serve, or we might be called to sit at the feet of Jesus. Both are important. Serving others will not be helpful if we do so in a distracted way, or if we are resentful about doing it, or feel forced to do it. This is not what God wants. As I thought about our own time of worship in the worship service, we begin with our call to worship, the prayer of confession, the reading of Scripture, the proclamation of the Word, the affirmation of our faith, the prayers of the people, the receiving of the offerings, and we end with the benediction. We also have announcements, and we have hymns of the faith. Now, synagogues, temples, churches are called houses of prayer. And yet, not very much time is given to prayer. I believe that this is one of the places where we can draw near to God, finding personal renewal of being in the presence of God in prayer. I was thinking back when I began my seminary studies at the Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Mexico City. And very early on, there were several churches that always reached out to the students. And we were invited to a night of a prayer vigil. And usually it began about 8 p.m. and it went to about 12 midnight. And during that time, the folks would come out, and there was usually some scripture that was read. There were maybe some hymns that were sung. But the time was really devoted to prayer, to praying for their local church, their pastor, their session, the leadership of the church. There were prayers on behalf of their members and the challenges that they were going through. There were prayers of thanksgiving and praise for the many blessings that God had bestowed and was bestowing on their lives. There were prayers that God would continue to lead and provide a vision for the church. There were prayers for opportunities, seeking ways to outreach, to do outreach and serve the community. Prayers on behalf of missionaries and others engaged in planting the gospel seed, and that God would convict hearts and minds to draw near to the feet of the Lord. Now, you may remember the evangelist Billy Graham, and just a side note that he had a Presbyterian connection. You see, his wife was Ruth Graham Bell. She was the daughter of missionary parents, Presbyterian missionary parents, that served in China. And when I served in Grace Presbytery there in the Dallas area, every year, just about every year, Billy Graham would come to the Highland Park Presbyterian Church, and there, Ruth Graham Bell's brother, I believe it was her older brother, Clayton Bell, was the pastor of that church, and he pastored there for many years. But that's just, as I say, a side note. So that when Billy Graham held his crusades, he always extended an invitation at the end of the service. And persons would come down, and whether it was a stadium or an auditorium, whether it was a college campus or a prison, he always encouraged those who came down to receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. They were then encouraged to spend time reading God's Word, to spend time in prayer, to find a place where they could fellowship with fellow believers, and worship God, and to share with others what God was doing in their lives. Think back to the time when you came to know the Lord, how it was that you too were engaged in getting to know God's word, in finding time for prayer, in sharing with others what God was doing in your life. Now, you and I live in a day and time of many distractions, many things that sidetracked us from our time with the Lord. And so let me encourage you to reflect on your own time spent during the week. What can you do on a daily basis to sit at the feet of Jesus, just like Mary? What can we do, and how can we perhaps find time to spend more time in prayer, to perhaps reflect on God's word as we read it, to make a call to someone that we haven't seen in a while, to just to encourage them and to pray for them over the phone, perhaps to send a text or an email to someone we haven't heard from in a while, and just to share words with someone of what God is doing in your life. When I go shopping, and usually I do the grocery shopping, and I tend to go to HEB, and usually I'm I'm a talker, right? And so usually as I finally get to the checkout line, I usually address always the cashier to see how their day is going, and if they're in, especially if they're younger looking, if they're in school, and encourage them to continue in their studies. But I'll also take time, like this last time I was there, the folks in front of us had a lot of groceries, and so the young lady behind me, she didn't have too much in her basket, but she was in that particular line. And so I asked her, I said, "Hey," I said, "if you want, you can go ahead of me." And she said, "Oh, no, no," she says, "you're fine." She says, "Well, I'll just wait." And so I asked her, was she a student or was she working? She says, "No," she says, I just started a program, and I'm serving in a program called Focus. I'd never heard of it. And it's the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, much like Campus Crusade for Christ. And so she says, "I go to different campuses, all of our Roman Catholic universities here, and even we reach out to Palo Alto and some of the San Antonio College and other campuses." She says, "And so I engage with students, reminding them of the importance of going to church, but also we have programs for Bible study. We have programs where we're able to do outreach and service to others. We have programs where we are able to visit those who are facing challenges and to encourage our students, oftentimes who are away from home, and to have a meal with them." And so it was a blessing for me to hear of the work that she was doing and to know of how it is that she is engaged on a daily basis in bringing others to the feet of the Lord. And she asked me what I was about, and I shared with her that I was a pastor and had also served as a hospice chaplain, and she too was blessed by that. And so at the end I said, "You know what, is it okay if I wait for you until you check out?" She says, "Sure." And so as we stepped out of the HEB, and right there as you come through the front door, just on the side, we had a moment of prayer. And so these are ways, I think, in which God reminds us that indeed the choices that we make are always important. And you and I have opportunity to serve God in a variety of different ways. And there are always distractions. I know that when I have found those times that I'm engaged trying to study the Bible, what happens is the phone rings, or all of a sudden I'm on the computer as well, and a computer text will come in, and so I take a moment to look at what has come in. But each of us, as we reflect on this passage this morning, may we remember that we serve a God who calls us to be in his presence, that we are called to be holy, set apart for the things of God. And may you and I find those places in our lives where we can be a blessing to others, so that we too might be blessed by the living God. To God then we give all praise and all glory, world without end. Amen.